sit down. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be focusing on just two verses that were read, but keep in mind the theme, the context in which these words are written. Verses 4 and 5, the words of Christ regarding this man born blind. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Oh, please, Father, speak your wonderful truth this morning. We know it is by the Word and the Spirit that hearts are communicated to eternally. And we depend on you to do this. Make the preaching of your word alive, Lord, this morning. Oh, Lord, captivate our hearts. Enable me, Lord, even in frailty, to speak in power. For Christ's sake, amen. We Christians are followers of Christ. We follow Jesus. In fact, if you want a simple definition of what a Christian is, plain and simply, it's this. A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. Would you agree? A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. That's what a Christian is, a Jesus follower. But there's a bit of a problem here, and we need to face it. I mean, anyone can claim to believe in Jesus. But what do we mean when we speak that word? When you claim to believe in Jesus, who is the Jesus that you think you believe in? I mean, there are lots of different Jesuses out there, different ideas about him. You get the Muslim Jesus. Do you know there's a Muslim Jesus in the Quran? Isa? It's not the same Jesus that we believe in as Christians, but they believe in Jesus. You get the Jehovah Witness Jesus. Ever met him? He's the Jesus created by God, an angelic being, but he's Jesus and they believe in Jesus. You get the liberal Jesus. There are people that don't believe in the supernatural, but they believe that Jesus was a great freedom fighter, a great fighter for justice. They believe in that sort of a Jesus. And I could go on. You see, there are thousands of different ideas out there on who Jesus is. So we've got a problem, and you've got to face this problem. If you want to believe in the one true saving Jesus, you'd better be able to explain exactly who that Jesus is. Jesus is just a word. Yeshua just means Savior. It doesn't mean anything specific unless you know the particular Jesus that Christianity believes. Well, how are we to know the real Jesus? You can't depend on the Muslims, or the Jehovah Witnesses, or the liberals, or even people in this church to tell you who they think Jesus is. Surely if you want to know for sure who the one true Jesus is, you'd better hear it from his own mouth. Don't you think so? You don't want second-hand opinions. You don't want somebody else's ideas. You need to hear from the words of Christ himself who he is. But is that possible? Yes, it is. In the Gospel of John, Jesus 7 times clearly and precisely makes statements about who he is. These seven statements are known as the I am sayings of Jesus. In other words, seven times in the book of John, listen, Jesus emphatically states precisely who he is. I am. And then he tells you, ego eimi, I am. Now, over the next few weeks, barring the Christmas season, God willing, we're going to be looking at a special series on the I am statements of Christ, one by one. And let me promise you something very true. If you're able to understand and believe in the I am statements of Jesus Christ, listen, you will never be led astray by false religion. To know and understand the I am statements of Christ is to understand true Christian faith. In these seven statements, the truth of Jesus are expressed in his own words. Don't you want that? You don't have to depend on the church to tell you who Jesus is. We're going to look at who Jesus says he is himself. Right, well, this week, we're going to consider the statement that Jesus makes in the text we have in front of us. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Ego eimi hophos tou kosmou. I am the light of the world. What can this mean? What are we to understand by those words? Are we to take it literally? Is Jesus saying here that he's literally a luminous glow of photons? Well, surely he can't be saying that, because photons are created things. They're physical things, and Jesus is God. So he can't literally mean he's a collection of photons that glow. He's not literally saying he's the light. Physically, anyway. Well, are we to understand his words here symbolically? I mean, is he using picture language here? Is he saying that he is the light because by him people see the way to God? Is he saying, I am the light because he gives illumination and vision? Well, in a way, that must be true. But what if I told you that what he's saying here is something much, much more than that? If we want to understand what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 9, verse 5, we need to go right to the beginning of the Bible. You might as well turn there. If you have your Bibles, you good Christians. The beginning where God created everything. All right? Genesis 1, verse 1. Keep that open as I continue with my message. Verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But now look at verse 3. And God said what? Let there be light. Here, at the very beginning of all things, the first thing that God does is, listen, speak light into the world. He says, let there be light. Yihi ha-phos. Ha-or, sorry, that's a Greek. Before anything else came into being, God spoke light into the world. Now, how awake are you this morning? Are you going to be able to stick with me for 15 more minutes? Don't switch off, because what I'm going to tell you now is the essential belief of the Christian faith. This is summing up what we believe in the Nicene Creed of Christian truth. So please just bear with me, okay? The Sunday school's in there. We're the big people. Let's do some serious thinking about God and the light. The first thing spoken into the universe is light. But hold on. What sort of a light can this be? Do you realize, according to Genesis chapter 1, it was only on the fourth day of creation that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was only on the fourth day that any vehicles of light, any manifestation physically of light, was created. Now, how can this be? Are there little lights flashing in your head? We are told that light was spoken into creation before, you need to get this, before there were any created manifestations, physical luminaries. Stop and think about this and realize God is speaking deep truth here. It should cause you to ask this question. When God says, "Let there be light," what on earth does he mean? What light is this that he speaks into the universe before the sun, moon, and stars? What is this light? Well, here we come to the very root of Christian understanding. If you'd like to make a note of this, and you can check it in your own time, 1 John 1 verse 5. 1 John 1 verse 5, we read this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. Now listen, God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Did you get that? God is light. Psalm 36 verse 9. In God's light we see light. Psalm 36 9. 1 Timothy 6 16. God dwells in unapproachable light. Psalm 104 verse 2, God wraps himself in light. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord Jehovah is my light and my salvation. And I could go on, but do you get my point? God himself, the Bible tells us, again and again, is eternal, uncreated light. God is light. In fact, interestingly, in Revelation chapter 22, we're told that in the new heaven and the new earth, you know the new world that's coming? We won't need the sun. We won't need created luminaries like candles and lights. Why? God himself will be the light of the new creation. Listen, God is uncreated light. And in Genesis 1, when God speaks light into the universe, he's speaking divinity into creation. If you get this bit, the heavy bit's over, but get this, okay, this is important. Here is the bridge between eternity and time, the light spoken forth. God's only begotten word, God's light begotten of God. Could put it this way. In Genesis 1, when God speaks forth light, he's bringing forth the canvas on which he is to paint his masterpiece. The light is not his creation, it's his very being, being begotten. But he's giving it as a canvas on which to create his masterpiece. All things are created in the sun, you know that. Do you get that? Right. Now, Jesus claims here, "I am the light of the world." And this is what he's telling us here. I am that light. The very light that was spoken forth and brought forth all things in this universe. I'm the very firstborn of creation. There's an ancient document written about 380 AD. It's known as the Athanasian Creed. And it explains what I'm trying to tell you like this. It says, Jesus is the one spoken forth of God the Father. Listen, very light of very light. Now, you may be thinking, well, how can I be so sure as I'm preaching this morning that that's what Jesus is saying here? How can I be so bold as to tell you what Jesus is saying? He could just be meaning this symbolically. He could just be using a word, you know, to explain something we haven't figured out. How can I be so sure that what I've said about Jesus' words here, I'm the light of the world, refers to that, the creation? Well, in our passage, Jesus is referring to Genesis chapter 1. This is unanimously agreed by evangelical theologians. Verse 4, listen to Jesus again. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. You see that? Now, why does he say that? Jesus speaks about light. He's the light that was sent forth of the Father, and he speaks of day and night. Okay? Now, go back. You should still have your Bible open at Genesis 1. Look at verse 4. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Do you see the connection? Now this day and night that he speaks of here can't be referring to the solar day and night, because remember, the sun and moon haven't been created yet. He's speaking about a day or night that precedes the very creation of the lights in the universe. What does this mean, separates day and night, when he speaks forth this light? This is what theologians say. Get this, and then I'll come to my application. They say, in Genesis 1:5, the day, listen, means anything touched by the light. Night means anything outside of that light. You see, just as there is divine light before there is created light, there is a day and night before there is created day and night. And you've got to understand this to get the main point of what Jesus is saying. Right, are you all still with me? Now we come to the challenge of the reading. From here on, we'll come to the practical. John chapter 9 is completely dedicated to this story of a man who was born blind and is healed by Christ. The whole chapter's dedicated to it. But this story is much deeper than just the surface. This is a story about light and darkness, blindness and vision. What makes people see the truth, and why many people just cannot see the truth of God in this world. It's all in this chapter. Jesus takes this man born blind and he touches him. And he sends him to go and wash in water, and he comes back seeing. It's a miracle. But actually, look at verse 3 of that passage. John 9:3. They asked, who has sinned? Why is this man born blind? Listen here, verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. This story is going to be used to explain how God works. You see, this isn't just a story to entertain us. What we're being told here is God's... I was going to use a Latin word, I thought I'd better not. It's God's expression of how he does things. Now listen, spiritually speaking, do you realize we were all born blind? We were all born in the night time, separated from the light. We've all been born in darkness, the Bible says, in the night. And if anyone is ever going to see the truth, if anyone's ever going to have their spiritual eyes opened, they need to be touched by Jesus, and they need to be sent to the waters of the gospel to be washed. And their eyes may be opened if this happens. Just like the blind man in this story, we all need to meet and be touched by Jesus, who's the light of the world. The one who's able to bring us to the daylight and save us from the darkness. Jesus says here, I am the light of the world. Now, practical as I close, what does this mean to you? Well, this is what it means to you. Your personal experience of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world right now, whether you can spiritually see or whether you are spiritually blind. I need to ask you, are you this morning in the light of godly vision? Are you able to see in this church the glory of God? Or if you're very honest, you have to look around and say, I don't know what everyone else sees because I don't see very much. Are you able to see spiritual reality or are you blinded? It all depends on one thing. Has Jesus, the light of this world, touched you? And have you been sent to the waters to be washed clean in the gospel? Have you been given the vision or are you blind? Jesus claims in this passage he is the light, the very light that was spoken forth of light. He's light of light. And he says, I am that light. I'm the one in which, I'm the canvas on which all creation is painted. Tell me, have you met this Jesus? Has he touched you? Has he washed you in the gospel? And have you had your spiritual eyes opened? There are some of us here today who would swear to you, maybe even on pain of death, that we can see things. We can see the glory of God around us. We can see the hope of the future coming glory. We can see the smile of God in our lives. We can see the truth. But I'm sadly, probably pretty sure that there may be people here today who cannot see this. And you may be one of them this morning. You may be looking around and think, what do these people see in this Jesus? What's the big deal? You know, so two men can be walking along the road and they both see the same sunset in front of them. And the one, the Christian, goes, wow, look at that sunset. Doesn't this just prove the glory of God? Look at the colors. Look at the contrast. Look at that. And you've got to believe in God. And his friend, who's not a Christian, looks at it and all he sees is the sun going down. And he says, what's the big deal? It's just the sun. You see, there's such a thing as spiritual vision. And there is such a thing, I'm sorry to say, as spiritual blindness. And it all depends on Jesus, who is the light. Has he touched you? You, who were born blind into the spiritual realm. Has he sent you to the waters or not? Remember, this is why he did this. It wasn't that he'd sinned or his parents had sinned. He did this to show us this reality. There's a hymn we're going to sing just now. Some of you will know this. The oldies know this, and this is why I like oldies. We know all the good stuff. Listen to the words of this hymn. Heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is richer green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. That's spiritual vision. And to have this vision, You need to be touched by the light. Jesus claims in our text to be the very light of the world that was spoken forth at creation that made a division between night and day. What makes that division? All that touched by the light is in the day. That which is outside of that light is in the darkness. And I want to leave this with you. Has he touched you this morning? If not, you don't see much, and I'm sorry for you, because you'll never see what a Christian can see unless the light touches your eyes. Let's pray. We do praise you, Lord. We ask you, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Father, set this world alight with your glory. There are many who are blind, many who cannot see. And I just pray, oh Father, give us vision. Oh Lord, we want to thank you, those of us that have known your touch. Thank you that we've seen your grace. We've seen the hope. Please, Lord, may the light shine this Christmas. May it shine maybe as it hasn't done for many, many years before in our church. May Christ be lifted up that people may see that light. Amen. Thank you. We're going to